genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of that sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, that's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to remember that number because we'll be giving a giveaway in the first half hour of today's show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is losing it. All three of my guests talk about losing one thing or another. My first guest believes that we haven't lost control of our government. We just need to know how to work the political system better. After yesterday's guest ranting about how government has changed for the worse, I wanted to have her on to explain how ordinary citizens can have extraordinary impact on the government. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Stephanie Vance is the advocacy guru. She's the author of four books. Her latest book is titled Citizens in Action, A Guide to Influencing Government. She has over 20 years of experience as a congressional aide and has worked in a prominent Washington, D.C. law firm. She's lobbied for National Public Radio. She worked in various congressional offices, holding positions as legislative director and staff director. Her work on congressional communications stems from her deep, abiding belief that government is effective only when the citizens are active participants. She's a frequent guest on radio and TV shows, too many to name. Ms. Vance holds a master's degree in legislative affairs from George Washington University, a master's degree in liberal science studies at Georgetown University. She's only an advocacy trainer and holding the prestigious Certified Speakers Professional designation from the National Speakers Association. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on, and particularly now. So many citizens feel really disenfranchised from the government, whether that's the local government, county government, state, or federal government, and perhaps that's why voter turnout has been so low as it's been in the last few elections. What's causing us to feel removed from our government? I mean, after all, isn't this a government for the people, by the people?
Well, that's what I hear. I know most people don't believe it. I think there's a couple factors. I mean, one thing is that, you know, sometimes you do hear horror stories about elected officials who really aren't listening and who are doing bad things. But I think another part of the story is that many people don't know how to effectively communicate their message to elected officials. So they try some things that don't really work, and then they are frustrated that they don't get heard.
I see. All right. Well, most people believe really, truly, that their voice just doesn't matter on many issues. You believe the contrary. Why is that?
Well, because I've actually been in a congressional office for years, and actually was in three offices, and I knew many people in other offices, and I knew that the most important thing any elected official thought when you walked in the door is, are you from my district, or how do you connect to the people in my district? So it always amazes me when people feel like they don't have power, because actually they are the most important voice and that an elected official will hear every day, and the elected officials know that.
Well, that's interesting because, again, most of us feel that our elected officials are just poo-pawing us and pushing us off and not really taking us seriously when we have a concern. Why is it that we don't have the proper knowledge, the proper know-how to communicate effectively with them?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it is that, you know, we learn about the process of government, how it works, how bills become laws, et cetera, but we don't learn about the process of communicating with elected officials. It was actually interesting, a survey from the Congressional Management Foundation that was done several years ago found that the people who had the most impact with elected officials were their constituents. So I think that not a lot of this information is getting out. I think people are really focused on, you know, sort of the schoolhouse rock, which I love.
I do too.
Of how to get a law.
Sure.
But I think people don't really know, you know, how to advocate effectively. And so that's where I wrote Citizens in Action, because I wanted people to know sort of the four keys to be an effective advocate.
Very good. We're talking to Stephanie Vance, everybody. And Stephanie, you brought up the L word, so let's delve into that a little bit more. Most of our listeners feel that only professional lobbyists can do an effective job of lobbying Congress, lobbying the state legislature, whatever. And lobbying has a negative connotation. So first of all, how did we come up with the name lobbying? And second of all, is there a way to effectively and ethically lobby the government, or is that just an oxymoron?
Well, I do think that, first of all, lobbying came up because, you know, when people were early on trying to influence legislators, they actually stood in the lobby of either the White House or the Capitol and caught people as they were coming back from the floor or going to the floor and lobbied them, you know, talked to them about their issues, but they actually stood in the lobby to do it, so they called it lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the couple things I'd say about lobbying, you know, first of all, every citizen already has lobbyists working for them, whether they know it or not. If you're a member of any group, if you're listening to National Public Radio, you have people who are lobbying on your behalf in Washington, D.C. So it's not always a bad thing. You know, sometimes those horrible special interests are us, and I think we need to recognize that. The other piece of it is that, you know, the most effective quote-unquote lobbyists are the citizens. They are the ones that elected officials really want to hear from. So any effective lobbying organization is going to get citizens involved in actually speaking directly with their members of Congress or the state legislature.
All right. Well, now you bring up something that was very interesting about lobbyists are working in our interest. You know, a lot of people are just down on the government. I mean, let's face it, whether it's California state government or whether it's the federal government, they're just down on it right now. And so would you please breathe a little ray of sunshine into our lives here and tell us what it is that the government does for us that actually is positive, because it does do many positive things.
Well, it does. And I think, you know, anyone who drives on a road or checks their email, or I know California schools may not be a great example right now, but
no.
Who, you know, takes a shower in the morning and there's water and, you know, hopefully, you know, local combined sewer overflow regulations. I mean, every minute of every day we're impacted by government, and usually it's pretty positively. It is providing us with services that, you know, sometimes we're frustrated with, but we need to recognize that those are all government-provided services. The other thing I would say is that, you know, if people are frustrated with government and they think it moves slow and all legislators ever do is argue, is to think about the fact that it's actually designed to be completely and totally inefficient. You know, if you were going to set up a business, you wouldn't set it up this way. You wouldn't have 535 people on your board of directors all with different opinions. And so I think people need to recognize that what they expect of their government in terms of, you know, getting things done is not really how government is designed to work.
Let me ask you to take a little detour here, and I want your personal opinion on it, because you mentioned our 535 elected officials back in Washington, D.C. That number has been stagnant for, oh my goodness, over half a century now, at 535 representatives, both senators and congresspeople as well. Is it time for that number to increase? Have we just sort of been stuck in the paradigm that we need to have 535? Why couldn't it be 720 or some other number?
You know, it's an interesting point, because each member of the U.S. House represents about 750,000 people. As the population grows, obviously the number of people they represent grow. And so some people would say, you know, one person can't really represent the interests of all of those people. I have to say, like, right now, one of the main reasons would be space. I know that sounds like a boring reason, but members of the U.S. House have actually very small offices, and their staff are usually stacked right on top of each other. So I think, you know, you'd actually have to sort of build some new buildings to house additional representatives. I think the reason that people decided to sort of put a lid on it was, Madison and the Federalist Papers said we really want all of these factions arguing it out on the House floor. But once we got to about 435, it became really difficult to actually reach consensus on things, which we're seeing now. So I think any more would make it even more difficult.
We're talking to Stephanie Vance, everybody. She's the author of the book Citizens in Action, A Guide to Influencing Government. And Stephanie, let's get back to the subject at hand, which is how we can truly regain control of the government and make an impact. Many families have both parents working. If they have two parents in the home, if it's a single family head of household, that person might be working two jobs just to make ends meet. From where's the time going to come to become active in our government again?
Well, I think the good news is that a lot of the things that we do on a day-to-day basis can sort of be converted to advocacy. So I work with a lot of organizations, community groups, et cetera, who are concerned about, whether they're going to be able to be engaged. And even, when you send out a press release, when you talk to your friends about a policy issue, when you read the newspaper, you can sort of translate that into being an effective advocate. I don't think advocacy is really rocket science, and I don't think it needs to take a long time. I think you just sort of need to know some basic things. The first one is to really know what you want. On the narrow issues that you want to advocate on, figure out, what do you think the elected official could do to make things better? And some of the ways you do that was, you'd review the legislative sites, you'd talk to associations that are doing some of that work. You might even talk to your own legislator and try to get some background on an issue.
All righty. Very good. We're talking to Stephanie Vance, everybody. Stephanie, we got to take a short break here for some commercial messages. When we come back, I want to talk about being an advocate in the Internet age. In some ways, it's gotten easier, but in many ways, it's gotten more difficult. I want to tackle that issue when we return after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain right here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. I've been giving out the telephone number 639-0008, and I told you to keep that in the back of your mind because we have a giveaway today. I've got four sandwiches from Urbane Cafe. That's four sandwiches or four salads. This is a family pack. You can come in. You can redeem it for all four sandwiches or all four salads at lunch. If you don't have a family, take some people from work to lunch today. That's the way to do it. And Urbane Cafe, they're here in Ventura, Agoura Hills, soon opening up in Oxnard as well. We'll give away this coupon for four sandwiches or four salads to the third caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. My special guest is Stephanie Vance. She is the author of the book Citizens in Action. It's a guide to influencing our government. And Stephanie, we were talking before the break about how many people feel that, they're disenfranchised from the government, but we're in the Internet age, and it's never been easier to contact our elected officials. In fact, there's a website that you can contact your representative or senator. It's called writereph.house.gov, and I'll put this up on my website, Brainstorming Online, for people who want to see it. And it's there, but with a click of a mouse, anybody can have their voice go directly to their elected officials in what I would call point-and-click lobbying. Why is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is this effective in the eyes of our representatives?
Well, I'm always for anything that gets people communicating with their legislators. So I don't, want to say, don't do it, because I think it does get people engaged. Now, that said, it really isn't the most effective way to capture their attention. And I ask people to think about it like junk mail in their own life. When you go and check your mail, you're not usually all excited when the Visa company sends you something saying, oh, you've been pre-approved. and it's kind of the same way with elected officials. They understand the amount of work that goes into a point and click versus the amount of work that goes into a personalized communication. So I suggest to people, whether you send it via email or letter or phone or carrier pigeon, I don't really care what way you send it, but the message really needs to be personalized and thoughtful. It really needs to tell your personal story about why these issues matter to you.
All righty. Personalized and thoughtful. I like that, Stephanie. All right. Well, what are some other tips or techniques? I don't want to call them tricks, but some things that we can do to make sure that our communications to our reps get read and get understood. What are some things that you can guide us to do there?
Well, I actually, because I'm in D.C., we have to have at least an acronym a day. So my acronym for effective messages is SPIT.
SPIT?
Which I don't want people to spit, but I do want them to be S, which is specific in their communication. So really clear about what it is that they're writing about and what it is that they want. P is for personal. So really what the role the citizens play is to connect broad esoteric policy issues with what happens on the ground on a day-to-day basis. And they do that through personal stories. The I is for informative, because at the same time you're telling those personal stories, you also really want to help the elected official understand sort of the day-to-day basics of that policy. And if you've got sort of localized facts and figures, that really helps. And the T is for trustworthy. And I think this is the most important thing and something that a lot of people forget. When you get engaged in a policy issue, you might do a point and click, and you might say, we want $6 billion for this program, and your elected official will say no or not say anything, and people will say, oh, we didn't get our money, government never listens. Well, you've just not even met someone, and you've asked them for $6 billion. They don't really trust you yet.
Right.
So you need to build up that trust over time.
All right. Well, let's get specific. Let's put some shovels and picks into the hands of our listeners who really might be thinking about crafting a letter to their state or their federal representatives. You say, be specific, be personal, be informative, be trustworthy. Let's say we're worried about a dam, the Matildaha Dam here in Ventura County. It needs to be replaced. How would you, using the SPIT technique, craft a letter to our state representatives about the dam?
Well, first of all, I would very specifically write to them and say, this dam needs to be replaced. And that, to me, is the knowing what you want section of the advocacy and being very specific in our SPIT acronym.
Mm-hmm.
And then the P, is the personal story about why that impacts the person, who is writing in. So whatever the impacts of the need for the dam replacement, we're concerned about flooding, where, it's falling apart. I mean, whatever the particular personal aspect of that is. The other side of the personal, and something I think people don't really think about, is knowing what the specific elected official cares about. So they may not be an environmental-oriented person or a construction-oriented person. They may be focused on health care or some other issue. And knowing what that is might help sort of frame the message in a way that's going to capture that legislator's attention.
All right, let's dig down on that if we can, Stephanie, for just a minute. Let's say that my representative isn't one who cares about construction, isn't one that cares about infrastructure. He cares about development and business. All right, that's his thing that he's represented, and that's what he's known for. So how could I not only make it more personal, but then help relate it to him, because he's not interested in the things that I'm interested in?
Well, if he's interested in development and business, I might go to him and say, knowing of your interest in, these issues, and, maybe he's introduced legislation on small business issues or, helping corporations in some certain way, I would say, knowing of your interest in these issues, let me tell you about how the dam replacement is going to help businesses in our community. I mean, I assume there would be construction jobs, I assume, we're struggling right now, and this would be a great way to bring some more jobs into the community. Businesses are going to be helped because, we don't need to be concerned about all of the negative aspects that the dam, not being replaced would have. So I'd really sort of focus in on those business side of things.
Good,
and
good.
I'd also think about who's communicating, trying to get some business leaders involved.
All right, good. So specific, personal, and now using the dam as an example, informative and trustworthy. How would you spin those?
Well, the informative is really about, making sure that you're getting your information from a good source and that you're relaying it well. You don't have to know all the details. It's not important to know, the sort of, pressure per square foot or anything like that. But you do need to make sure that you're getting information from the right source. I've had too many people come into my office and say, I heard on the Daily Show last night with Jon Stewart that, this bill is doing X, Y, or Z. And, he's a funny guy, but he's not always, 100% accurate about what's going on. I mean, I love him. I love watching his show. But that's just an example. So making sure that whatever facts and figures you're relaying are truly accurate. And then that leads into the trustworthy. And I think, you know, the way I think of trustworthy is to kind of think about building that relationship with that legislator. So maybe you start by asking them to come visit the dam and to see the issues, and then you might ask them to make a statement about it, and then you sort of get to the point where they get much more engaged and involved and really want to be on your side.
Oh, great. We're talking to Stephanie Vance, everybody. She's the author of the book Citizens in Action, A Guide to Influence in Government, and she's got a very simple method. It's called the SPIT method for getting the attention of our elected officials. Be specific, be personal, be informative, and be trustworthy. So, Stephanie, those are some things that we can do to make sure that we get heard. What are some things that are turnoffs if you're trying to contact your elected officials? What are things we shouldn't say or do?
Well, you know, there's several. One of the ones, and it sort of relates not just to the elected official but staff people, is to walk in the room in a meeting and say, you know, to the staff person, oh, man, I have to meet with just you, which I used to get all the time, and because people would say they were disappointed to meet with the staff person. But actually, the staff can get you much further along on your advocacy efforts, so I encourage people to do that.
Well, let's drill down on that for just a minute, Stephanie, because staff people are important whenever you're trying to push something forward. Why is it that staff people can move things along better, faster sometimes than direct contact with the elected official?
Well, as we discussed earlier, I mean, in the U.S. House, every elected official represents about 750,000 people. So they're not going to be able to take everyone's individual interests and move it forward. They're very, very big picture kind of people. Staff people can kind of specialize in a couple different issues and really get to know a little bit about those issues and their impact on the community. So they're the one that the legislator's turning to for advice on how to vote, on what to sign on to. And I've even seen offices, you know, where the staff have the authority to make, you know, sort of low-level decisions about signing letters or co-sponsoring bills, even if the member hasn't directly approved it.
All right. So be nice to the staff, Stephanie. That's one thing that you definitely want to do. In other words, the opposite of that would be don't be mean to the staff. What are some other things that you don't want to do?
Well, you don't want to. One of the things I used to hate to hear was, here's some reading material for you. It's our 300-page annual report. You want to make sure the information you have is concise, one or two pages. Let the staff know that you're really a resource for them, but you're never going to be able to tell them everything you know on an issue. They just want to know who you are and how they can reach you when they need that information.
Okay.
Another one I always used to hear and really didn't like was, I know I didn't contribute to your campaign and you're not going to listen to me, but I'm supposed to ask you for more funding, which hopefully that's obvious why it would be a little insulting. But, you know, as staff people, most of them and members of Congress or members of the state legislature, they feel really uncomfortable when they're sort of I made a campaign contribution, now you're supposed to do what I say. So making those connections doesn't always work and won't, and actually will sometimes get the staff people not to do what you want.
We're talking to Stephanie Vance, everybody, and she's written the book Citizens in Action, A Guide to Influencing Government. Stephanie, if you wanted to direct people to a website or other resources to learn more, where would you send them?
Well, my site, advocacyguru.com, has a lot of free resources, articles, checklists, frequently asked questions that I think would be useful to citizens as they go forth and advocate.
Okay, that's great. Stephanie, we've only got about a minute left, but we need to re-engage with government. I think we both agree, you and I, that it's a people, it's a government of the people, for the people. So what would you suggest that people do to re-engage with their government starting today?
Well, the very first thing, very simple, 5 minutes, go to a site like Write Your Rep or Congress. There's a site called congress.org or house.gov or senate.gov, and find out who your legislators are. You can even, you know, obviously Google the California Assembly site and find out who those people are. Read their biographies, learn a little bit about them, see what bills they've introduced, and then really think through the kinds of issues that you want to engage with them on, and be prepared to delve a little bit deeper with them.
Oh, that's great. Stephanie Vance, you're a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for joining us today on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. She's the author of the book Citizens in Action, A Guide to Influencing Government. Stephanie, we'll be talking to you down the road.
I'd love to. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, and take care.